Valkeri meharher belibo veinu mivarech lo lefanav velo lacharav. You see, it's towards the bottom of Chaf on the Bet. Says somebody who had a seminal omission, so he says Shema in his heart, and he makes no bracha before and afterwards. Va'alamazon mivarech lacharav veinu mivarech lefanav. So he says a brichat amazon, but he does not make a bracha beforehand. So he doesn't say a motzi lechem minaretz. It's pretty wild, right? Rabbi Yehuda omer mevarech lefneihem v'achareihem. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no. You have to say bracha in both cases. Now, just a simple understanding, the rule of Baal Keri not being able to learn Torah actually comes from the idea you can't be lasok b'Torah. It comes from Takanat Ezra. So the way it works is like this. When it comes to Shema, you do it quietly. When it comes to the brachot that are before Shema and afterwards, those are only rabbinic brachot. So therefore, Ezra has the ability to override that and say, don't make the brachot before the Shema, that is Yotzer HaMorot and Ohev HaMo Yisrael, and the bracha afterwards, which is Gal Yisrael or Hashkivenu, because those are rabbinic ones. And when it comes to Brachat HaMazon, Ezra doesn't have the right to take away your responsibility to say Brachat HaMazon, because that's a Torah law. It says Vachat HaZavata. But the bracha, Baruchat Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam V'Motzei Lechem Min Haaretz, that's a rabbinic law. So Ezra has the right to take away, essentially, a rabbinic law and say that if you've had a seminal omission, then you do not make you do not make those brachot. As far as Shema goes, we'll see why he wants Shema said. Everybody apparently agrees. We'll see whether everybody agrees that Shema needs to be said quietly as opposed to out loud if you're in a state of seminal omission. So with that in mind, now we can go and take a look at, we could start now our daf, or at the bottom of the previous daf, which is Tznan. So it says Tznan. Now this is going to be a question on Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that you're allowed to make brachot. And it's a complicated little piece of Gemara. Afterwards it gets a little bit easier, but it starts off a little difficult. Tznan. Zav Shara Keri. If you're a Zav who saw Keri, now a Zav is somebody who has a different kind of omission, which is considered a seven-day tumah. So if you see a Zav, it's also a milky omission, but it's not seminal. It's some type of, today, the truth is today, if somebody had gonorrhea, they would see that kind of omission. Whether this is just a spiritual omission or not, I don't know, but there's clearly omission coming out of the man's privates. And it's not Keri. The Gemara actually, in a different Gemara, I believe in Sukkah discusses, or Megillah discusses how you know that it's not Keri. So the answer is, if you didn't eat the previous right before you went to bed, or you weren't exercising right before you went to bed, then you would assume that an omission is not seminal, but that it is this Zav, which is some type of other liquid discharge. But what if you had this liquid discharge, you actually Tamei, so you're already Tamei. And now you see Keri. Or, let's say a woman is in Nida, Shepalta Shechvat Zera. And what happens is, after she was in Nida, I'm sorry, I apologize. Before she was in Nida, she had sex with her husband. Now what happens is, if the seminal fluid comes out of the woman, she is now Tamei, and according to Ezra, she can't learn Torah until she goes to a mikvah. But it's a little bit weird because she already has to go to a mikvah, because she's in Nida. So if she goes to a mikveh now, it's going to be absolutely worthless as far as the Nida is concerned, because you have to wait a full 7 days for Nida. But apparently the question is, what happens if during that 7 days, when you're not allowed to go to a mikveh for Nida, what happens if she was Tamei Tumat Keri, because she slept with her husband before Nida and it didn't escape her body until after she was in Nida? Should she then go to a mikveh or not for just the Zav? For just the Keri. And then finally, Hamishameshet v'ra'ata dam srichin tvila. Somebody who has sex and then sees blood, which means, hold on a second. What's this case, Michelle? This case is, just a second, I want to get this case straight. Hamishameshet. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. I think Shemeshet is Virat Adam is, oh, I'm sorry, it's a man. Talk about the man, that makes sense. Shemeshet is a man who has sex. We're at the bottom of Chaf Aleph on that down here. We're on the Tznan. There's a Tznan right there. Right, so again, there are three cases where you're already in Nida, But now you have this, well, not where you're ever near, we're actually tummy for 7 days, and now you have this new thing where you also have a seminal mission. So let's go over them. It's the first one is the regular Zava mission, and in the middle of the Zava mission, you also have a seminal mission. Or a woman who had sex before she had came into Nida, then she got into Nida, so now she's tummy with Nida. Dafyomi.
Dafyomi?
Yeah.
Tomorrow
is the Tanakh class.
Yes.
Yeah. Or the woman who had sex before Nida, then she's in Nida, and then she sees, she emits some seminal fluid. And the third case is a man who had, Shameshivratadam. The last case has got to be a woman. So first she had sex, and then she saw, right, so I'm not sure what the difference is between the first case and the second case. Oh, I do know what the difference is. When you have sex, at that time of sex, you're also considered tamei. You're also considered tamei for seminal, for what's called tamei keri. That is, a man and a woman who have sex, so both of them actually are tamei keri, and they need to go under whatever tefillah that we're going to start discussing. So I'm sorry for going slowly. I just want to get the cases straight in my head before we go on, because it's a tough piece of Gemara. The first case is a man who had the Zava mission, let's say a gonorrhea commission or some other mission, and then in the middle of that 7-day tuma, he sees semen. He has a wet dream, and he sees semen, wakes up, and he had semen. The other case is a woman who is in Nida, who ejects the semen that she had in her from before she went to Nida, obviously, because she wouldn't have sex after Nida. And the third case is somebody who is mishameshet, is somebody who has sex. At that point, she's in tamei keri, but now she's in a super tamei because now she's going in and she sees her blood, and now she's in tamei nida. So the question is, what to do in those cases? So the Gemara says, srichin tvila. In all those cases, you have to be tovel right away, which is interesting because you would think the tefillah would have no positive effect, because the tefillah doesn't help you get out of Zav, it doesn't help you get out of the two cases of Nida. However, since you can't learn Torah while you're tamei keri, while you have a seminal emission, therefore you have to go and have a tefillah anyway, which is essentially useless, not a useless tefillah, but a tefillah does not really have a full effect on your problem. Rabbi Yehuda poter? Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda says, listen, probably the logic is like this. The immersion is not going to help your real tummy anyway, so you're really not going to do anything, and therefore you could just go ahead and learn Torah. So what's the question? Ad kan lo pater Rabbi Yehuda el bezav shara keri demei kara lav bar tzvilahu aval bar keri greda michayev. So what that means is here Rabbi Yehuda is only saying that this zav who sees a keri is not supposed to immerse himself in order to get out of the carry problem, because he couldn't go into a mikveh anyway. Dimei kara lav bar tefilah, which means I could dip myself in a mikveh from now until the next 6 days. It's not going to help me out because I'm tamei zav. I'm having a different kind of emission, and therefore jumping into a mikveh is going to do me no good whatsoever. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, listen, since you're tamei zav, it's not going to help you get into a mikveh anyway, and now all of a sudden, lo and behold, you're also tamei keri. Forget about going to a mikveh. It doesn't do any good. You might as well just forget the whole thing and start learning Torah. But that's only the case when the mikveh was useless for you anyway. Aval bal keri greda. But if a guy has no other tumas, which means he's not tamei, the woman's not tamei nida, or the man is not tamei zav, just all of a sudden I wake up and I had a seminal emission. So then I should go and I should be mechai. You follow what I'm saying? In the Mishnah that we read on the previous page, it says Rabbi Yehuda says that if you're tamei keri, you could say all the brachot you want. You could say shema. You could say bracha before you eat, a bracha you have to eat. You could say the whole ball and wax. But this Gemara looks like, this Gemara brings down a Mishnah, which seems to be only saying that the only time Rabbi Yehuda lets you get away with not saying, not going to be tefillah before you're allowed to start saying bracha m'masik b'torah is only when you're in a situation that tefillah is useless. One would assume from that, since Rabbi is saying that only in a situation where tefillah is useless, because I'm nidor azav, should I not bother getting rid of the whole carry deal? But if I'm just a carry, then I should go ahead and get rid of it before I learn Torah. Do you follow the logic there? So the Gemara, do you want me to go over it, or you're okay? So the Gemara says, no. V'chi tema, wait a second. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I have a beautiful answer, I can solve the whole problem. V'chi tema hu adin dafilu bal carry greater nami pater, Rabbi Yehuda, which means, you're telling me the whole supposition here is Rebbe Yehuda and the Mishnah doesn't make sense because he says that you could always forget about being Tovel for Keri. If I'm Keri, I could say all the brachot in the world I want, I could be Matasik for Torah. You showed me a Mishnah where it seemed to imply that Rebbe Yehuda only says that you don't have to go to a mikvah nor to learn Torah after your tummy Keri when you're also tummy something else, and therefore since your tummy something else, it's not going to do good anyway, so no father being Tovel for Keri. So the answer is, well, maybe it's not like that. Maybe Rebbe Yehuda is really saying in every case you don't need to be Tovel. Whether I'm Tamei Zav or whether I'm Tamei Nida, it doesn't make a difference. Whether I am, whether I'm not. If I'm Tamei Keri, I don't have to do a thing. I don't care whether I was pure before or not pure before. Ah, but then why does the Gemara, why does this Mishnah take the more strict opinion? Why does this Mishnah seem to only say that Rebbe Yehuda is saying that it's okay only in a case where or you're already Tamei for something else? So it says, and why is it talking about a case where a person already had a previous tuma, as opposed to a person who wasn't tummy at all? It wasn't to tell you that Rabbi Yehuda only says that you don't have to be tovel in a case where he's already zav or she's already nida. Really, in both cases, you don't have to be tovel. Ah, then why use the more strict case? To tell you that the Rabbanan, you might have thought the Rabbanan would only say that you got to go to a mikvah if you have no prior guilt, if you all you have is tumat keri, if you only have seminal emissions. That's when you have to go to a mikvah. So we took the more strict case where even if you're tummy for something else, and you might think, I'm already tummy nida, I'm already tummy zav, what use is it for me to go to a mikvah? It's going to do absolutely nothing. So it tells you the kocham of the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan would say, even though this tefillah theoretically is like doing nothing, still you have to go because it has a positive effect when it comes to keri. It gets rid of the semen to the extent that you can then say brachot. But really in both cases Rabbi Yehuda would say that you do not need to do any kind of tefillah whatsoever. If I have a seminal emission at night, whether I was previously a zav or not, whether I was previously a tummy or not, I couldn't care less. I could go and learn Torah or whatever I want to do the next day. I do not have to have any kind, regardless of whether I was tummy previously or not. So then the Gemara says, wait a second, why is this whole thing bad? Ema seifa hamashameshet verata dam tzricha tefila l'man katanila. That is, you wanted to propose that Rabbanan say you always have to be tovel for keri, whether you had a prior zav or not, and that's the kochon of the Rabbanan. And, however, Rabbi Yehuda would always say that you never have to be tovel. They would never require to be tovel, whether you had a prior tuma or not, whether you were already nida or whether you were already a zav. But that can't be. You can't argue that the Mishnah reads like that. Why? Because let's look at the end. Hamishameshet verata dam, somebody who has, a woman who has sex, and then after sex she sees blood, sricha tvila, leman de katanila. There's no owner of that. It can't be Rabbi Yehuda, and it can't be the Tanakama / the Rabbana. Why? Elam and the Rabbana Shita. Obviously, if a woman has sex and then she goes into Nida, then she has to be Tovel, according to Rabbana. Why? Hashta umazav shara kari deme karala bartvilahu. Mechayvi Rabbanan Hamshamesh Vrata Dame Karabat Vilahi Lo Koshkein. Here's the case, by the way. I don't know why they use the Zav case. They could use the woman case. Think of it like this. A woman had sex 2 days ago. She already went to the mikvah. She's not Tamei Keri. Then she spent a full day where she's perfectly fine. She's learning Torah all she wants. On the next day, the third day, she sees her blood. She's now Tamei Nida. Then, on the third and a half day, the fourth day, a little bit of semen escapes her body. And now she's Tamei Nida and she's Tamei Keri. The Rabbanan there say you have to be Tovel. If I know that that's true, where she was not even, that is, she was Tamei Nida before she was Tamei Keri, and there the Rabbanan say, even though you were Tamei Nida first, which means that now a Tevila is going to be totally useless for you, nonetheless, since you're now Tamei Keri after that point, I want you to be Tovel, then obviously if she had sex first before her Nida, and at that moment, let's say she has sex at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, 12 o'clock after the afternoon, that she's Tamei Keri, she has to go to a mikvah. Before, not for Nida, she has to go to a mikvah in order to learn Torah, Tachanat Ezra. At 12:05, 12:10, 12:15, whatever it is, she's on her way to the mikvah, bah! She sees that she's Nida. Obviously she has to be Tovel. Why? Because if she had to be Tovel in a case where she was Nida first, and then Tamei Keri, And when she was tummy neither, it was useless for her. She became this little tiny tumor of Keri. This is a rabbinic tumor. And she got a rabbinic, that's like after somebody shoots me, somebody steals my wallet. You know, who cares? I don't have to worry about the stolen wallet after I'm already lying on the floor dead, chas v'shalom. So obviously, if the rabbinic say you have to worry about the stolen wallet, in this case you have to worry about it, even after she becomes Nida, which is a big deal, then she becomes Keri, and now I have to go to a mikvah. Then obviously, if she was tummy first with Keri, where she's Meshameh, she had sex, and then she goes Nida, then Kal v'chomer. You follow what I'm saying? So therefore, according to Rabbanan, I wouldn't have to know the last case. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, Elalav Rabbi Yehuda he, so therefore it's not Rabbanan, it must be the woman who had sex and then saw Nida, it must be Rabbi Yehuda who says that she has to go to a mikvah. V'dapka d'katani l'mashamesh v'rata Nida, eina tzricha tzvila, aval balkeri grady mechayiv? Elalav Rabbi Yehuda he, v'dapka katani l'mashamesh v'rata Nida, eina tzricha tzvila. About Baal Keri Grey the Machayev, and how can you say it's Rabbi Yehuda? Because if Rabbi Yehuda is the one who said that a woman who has sex first and goes to a Nida, she has to be what's the word trying to say here? Allah Rabbi Yehuda he Vidavka Katani La Mishameshit Virata Nida Ina Tzvicha Tzvila. About Balkeri Greda Michaev. I think one way or the other, and I'm sorry I'm a little bit foggy here, says Rabbi Yehuda can't be the owner of this Mishnah. Rabbanan can't say the Mishamesha case. Rabbi Yehuda can't say the Mishamesha case. Oh, of course. Because Rabbi Yehuda is the one who specifically said that if you had no prior guilt, then there's no way you could say the Bracha all you want. That was in the Mishnah that we saw two pages ago. Then what's the difference between that and the woman who was Tameh first and then became an Ida? Then obviously she would... Why are you saying that now? You're saying that in a case where a woman's where a man is tummy Keri, he doesn't have to go something. But this woman who's tummy first with Keri and then becomes it, she has to go something. She should never have to go something because it's certainly not worse than being tummy without any extra add-on. Because what's the difference between the two cases? So it can't be Rabbanan because Rabbanan wouldn't have to tell you it's chayiv. You would know it's chayiv from the Nida case. And it can't be Rabbanan that say you're chayiv because Rabbanan, because this case of where you're tummy first and then you become Nida is no worse than where you're not tummy Nida at all in the previous Mishnah. So therefore it can't be either. Okay. So my answer is lo tema mvarech elam haher. I'm going to change the whole story now. It has nothing to do when Rabbanan, you're right. Rabbi Yehuda never said in our previous Mishnah two pages ago, never said in the Mishnah two pages ago you're allowed to make a bracha. It says you're not allowed to make a bracha, but you're allowed to be mahar hera bracha, which means you're allowed to say it quietly. That they're willing to say. And then the Gemara says, so essentially the rules are changed, which means everybody agrees now. Both Rabbanan, the Tanakam in that Mishnah, and the Rabbanan, and Rabbi Yehuda say they're not allowed to make a bracha. Except Rabbi Yehuda says that you are allowed to make a bracha, but you're allowed to make it quietly. So then the Gemara asks, immediately the Rabbi Yehuda hear her. How can you say that Rabbi Yehuda would allow you to make a bracha and hear her? Bahatanya Balkari Shain Lo Mayim Litvol. What happens if a guy's a Balkari and he doesn't have any water to dip in? Kore Kriyat Shema Ve'enu Mavarech Lo Lefaneh Ve'lo Lacharah. He could read Kriyat Shema, but he's not allowed to say a bracha before or afterwards. Ve'ochel Pito, and he's allowed to eat his bread. Umavarech La'acharech Ve'enu Mavarech Lefaneh. He could say Bechat Mezom, but not a bracha Tashem Lekim Afon Mosechon Aras. This is exactly like the Tanakh Kama's opinion in our Mishnah. Aval Maharher Belibo Ve'enu Motzi B'Svatav Divi Rebbe Meir. But whatever you say can't come out of your mouth. You're not allowed to say it out loud. You have to say it quietly. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bein Kach Motzi B'Svatav. So now here Rabbi Yehuda is explicitly saying that you say it out loud. So what happened? We had this other Mishnah by the woman who had sex and then she had neither, and we tried to figure out who it was like. We decided that Rabbi Yehuda says only in a case where you were already tummy with something else, and then you become tummy with Keri. That's when you don't have to go and to a mikvah before you learn Torah because it's useless because you're already tummy nida. But in a regular case, you would have to go to a mikvah before you learn Torah. And then we want to say no. Maybe he'd say you have to go to a mikvah to learn Torah. But if you just want to whisper Torah, say it in your head, that's okay. But that's no good because this other bright that says explicitly that not only does Rabbi Yehuda say that it's okay to learn Torah, it's okay to learn Torah out loud. And now that contradicts the Mishnah by the case of the woman who is in Nida. All right, let's continue on. So Amar, that's not a problem. We got a good answer for that. Amar Rabbi Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Asa on Rabbi Yehuda Talachot Derech Eretz. Guess what? He wants you to learn that Torah, but he agrees that it's Asa to learn Talmud Torah if you're a Baal Peri. He believes just like that is. Rabbi Yehuda does say that you're allowed to learn Torah if you're already Tamei Nida and then you become Tumat Keri because the Tefillah doesn't help. And he would also admit that if you're a Tamei Keri greater, you just woke up one day, you weren't Tamei with anything else, all of a sudden you have a similar addition, that you're not allowed to read the Torah. But you're allowed to read it so how can you say you're allowed to read it, not only you're allowed to read it out loud? Because you're not learning Torah. You're doing something called Derech Eretz. Totally different animal. It says by Matan Torah that you should tell your kids and your children. And then it says, just like by Matan Torah, where you have to be sweating and fearful and crazy out of your mind because you're actually seeing God, so here too, when you learn Torah, you're supposed to do a Be'ima Beretet Ubezeah. Now that doesn't really answer the question. What does that have to do with Derech Eretz? And the Gemara never says so. What I believe the translation for Derech Eretz, by the way, is like Musar. Like Musar. There's when you're learning Torah, I can learn Torah to try to understand Torah. What did God mean? What was the halakha? What was this? What was that? But the other way to learn Torah is just try to put fear into you. I want you to learn this Torah. I have Vayikra, for instance. I can learn Vayikra Shalom Moshe Limor. If I'm learning Torah, I just know that God called to him from Ohol Moed. But if I want to, I can get into this whole schmooze about how the Aleph is small to tell you they're not like Bilam or something else and Moshe's better. I get the whole like a pulpit speech like. It's like when a rabbi gets up to do a pulpit speech. I'm not entirely sure it's Talmud Torah. It's Derech Eretz. I take the Torah and I use it as a springboard for making myself a better person. Do you follow what I'm saying? So he's saying when I say Berachat HaMazon and when I say the Bracha before Shema and afterwards, you can look at it as Talmud Torah. Or you can look at it as Derech Eretz, a way to enhance or enhance your eating experience. Say, hey, before you eat, forget about the learning of the Torah, but you should just know, God forbid, you should eat without saying Baruch Hashem Lekem Alchemo Tzolchem Naaretz from a Musar perspective rather from a Torah perspective, and I think that's where this is going. Okay, so the Gemara then goes on. It says Mikan Amru Hazavim VaMetzoraim Ubain Al Nidot Mutarim Lekrot B'Torah B'Neviim Uktuvim B'Beshnot B'Mishnah B'Gemara L'Chod B'Agadot About Balkarian Asurin. Based on this whole conclusion, what we learned is, if you're a Zav, so you have this, whatever, this weird, like, gonorrhea admission, or some kind of other weird admission, I'm not sure what causes it, or if you're a Tzora, or if you're Tamei Nida, a woman, assume a woman is Tamei Nida, this really means a man who comes to a woman while she's in Nida, but I'm going to leave that alone right now. Mutarin Lekrot the Torah Nevi'im Tumim, they can learn the Shnof and Mishnah and the Gemara, and they can learn Mishnah, and they can analyze the Mishnah. So this law about Baal Keri then only applies to Baal Keri. You're not allowed to learn Torah. And even though Rabbi Yehuda, that is, even Rabbi Yehuda would admit that you're not allowed to learn Torah. All Rabbi Yehuda says that you're allowed to do is learn Torah b'derech eretz. Okay, let's continue on with the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi, have we gotten to the next page yet? We're on the next page, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, I have it in my computer, so I don't know what the page is on. Okay, so I got to pick up speed a little bit, but I think that's the hardest, that Gemara was the hardest Gemara, so I think everything from here on will go a little bit better. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shonehu Berigilo to Ubilvad Shalo Yatsi at the Mishnah. So right away we said that what is a person allowed to do if they're Tamei Keri? So now we get into the details, and it turns out that it's a five-way argument. According to Rabbi Yossi, he says that you're allowed to learn Berigilut, Ubilvad shelo yatziyat a mishnah. That is, you're allowed to learn mishnah that you're rugged with. That is, let's say I know the whole first. Me'amatai korin shema barvim. B'shasha kon ninuchsim lechol b'tumatan. Divrei Rabbi whatever. Divrei Rabbi Yezer. Chachamim lomim etc. That I could do. It's only when I want to be matziyah, which means to analyze it, that I'm allowed to. I can't think about it. If I know those mishnayot by heart, I can wiggle them off one after the other. But I can't start to think about it. So Rabbi Yossi has a very strict opinion. Baal Kori, essentially, all you can do is like mention the ones that you know. Just read them. Rabbi Yonatan bar Yosef Omer, no. Matziyahu et ha-Mishnah. If you want to, you can analyze Mishnah. Ve'eino matziyah et ha-Gemara. So if, but what you're not allowed to do, now by the way, when it mentions Gemara here, it's not talking about our Gemara. It's talking about what became our Gemara. It's their analysis at the time, which later got compacted to Gemara. Their word Gemara means the analysis of the reasons and the extrapolation behind the Mishnah. But when they're talking about, they're not talking about a formal book of Gemara, they're talking about the process. So when it comes to Mishnah, you can do whatever you want. You can think about what the Mishnah means. But when it actually comes to looking behind the law and when the law applies, and when the law doesn't apply, that's Gemara that you can't do according to Rabbi Yonatan Bar Yosef. Next, Rabbi Natan Ben Avi Shalom Omer Af Matziyata Gemara. No. You can analyze and start to learn like Gemara on it. B'vad Shalom Yomar Az Karut Shabo. What you're not allowed to do is mention God's name. That is when Hashem's name shows up while you're learning, Because what do? You say the reason why this is pasuk, why this gemara is true, is because in the pasuk it says Laman Yanuach Hashem, etc., etc. By the way, what does this tell you about how they pronounce what they did with Hashem's name when they were learning for regular? They used to say Hashem's name out. You see, today in most cases we don't even say Hashem's name. But this gemara seems to indicate halachically. This is sort of like a side point. This gemara is saying that only if you're tummy carry, according to Rabbi Yonatan, then you're not allowed to say Hashem's name. You have to say Hashem or Adoshem or Akadosh Baruch Hu. But obviously, if you weren't tummy carry, according to Rabbi Nathan but Avi Shalom, and apparently according to everybody else, when I'm learning a pasuk, and this is what I always do, of course, in my classes, Chaim will know. I always say, why don't you say God's name? It's a beautiful name. So the general contention in Israel, where I learned, is if you say a whole pasuk, you finish the whole pasuk. So you say Hashem's name. Rav Soloveitchik didn't do that. Rav Soloveitchik, I've heard him. He only said Adoshem. Only said Adoshem. So I don't know. I assume he knew this gemara also. So I don't know what to tell you. But this gemara certainly makes it look that if you're learning Lishma, then you say Hashem's name. What's that?
In earlier gemara, it says when you do a full pasuk, you
say. Oh, it does. Okay. So that's the problem. I only learned 1 out of 7 pages. So you have to fill me in. Rabbi Yonatan, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, Talmido, so Rabbi Akiva, Mishum Rabbi Akiva, he said in Rabbi Akiva's name, Lo Yikanes Le Midrash Kol Ikar, Va'amilei, they don't say Lo Yikanes Le Beit Midrash Kol Ikar. That there's a big difference between Midrash Kol Ikar and Beit Midrash. In one case, Lo Yikanes Le Midrash Kol Ikar, but according to Rashi, you're not allowed to do it yourself. But if you go into the Beit Midrash, now you're allowed to go and you want to listen to somebody give a shiur. You want to play a shiur on the internet, that you're allowed to do. But you're not allowed to give your own shiur. That's what Yikanes Le Midrash is. But the other opinion, according to Rabbi Akiva, because they sort of lost what he said, was you're not even allowed to go into Beit Midrash. So not only are you not allowed to give Torah over, you're not only allowed to hear Torah to somebody else. You've got to close your internet connections, you can't hear Torah. That's obviously a very strict opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shonehu Bahalacho Derech Eretz. This, by the way, is Rabbi Yehuda's classic opinion. That's what we figured out up above. Rabbi Yehuda essentially saying is you can't learn Torah at all. But what do? You learn it Musari. I want you to know this whole idea of there's no such thing as God didn't create the world from anything, he created the world from nothing. It's philosophy. Philosophy based on psukim, as opposed to halacha and gemara based on psukim. At least I think that's what it means. I'm not entirely sure, but I think that's what it means. Mice of Rabbi Yehuda, and by the way, we have a supporting story. There was a story with Rabbi Yehuda, Shara Kerry. He had a seminal omission. V'haya mahalech al-gav nahar. And at the same time, he was also, around the same time, when he noticed that he was a Baal Keri, he was also walking by a river. Amulo Talmidav. So a student said, Rabbeinu, Shana Lanu Perek Echad Bahalachot Derech Eretz. I want you to teach us the law of Derech Eretz. Now, by the way, for all I know, this is maybe even talking about Pirkei Avot. You know, that I think that's what they mean by Perek Derech Eretz. It sounds like they actually have a prakim that are called Hilchot Derech Eretz. I don't know what that is, to be honest with you. Is that Pirkei Avot? Is there some other Musar book, like we have Mesilas Yesharim, so they had some other book that was lost that was called Pirkei Derech Eretz? I don't know. Are they talking about an oral tradition? Maybe they're talking about an oral tradition, but whatever it is, they asked them to teach them some, I think what we would call Mesilas Yesharim or something like that. So, Yarad V'Tabel V'Shan Alehem. So what did he do? He jumped into the river, and they taught them Derech Eretz. Amulo, they said to him, Lo Kach L'Mad Tano Rabbeinu. That's how you taught us. You taught us Shona Huvava Derech Eretz. You don't have to go to Mikvah in order to learn Derech Eretz. All we wanted was Derech Eretz. Amulahem Afal Pisha Mekel Ani Al Achirim. Even though I'm Mekel on other people, for other people I say it's okay. But Machmir on the Atzmi, for my own personal use, I have to be a little Machmir on myself. Doesn't this go against the whole Gemara where somebody lied down to read the Shema to be Machmir like Beit Shammai? So these are always touch and go things. It's always hard to say. But at least contra Rabbi Yehuda, it's okay to be Machmir by yourself as long as everybody else understands that. I guess as long as other people understand that they're Mekel for other people. You hear this all the time. Like rabbis will say, well, you know, I think for you it's okay, you know, just because I wouldn't do it, so don't take that as a sign. So I think you hear this. I don't think it's that strange of, I think it's fairly common. Every time Rabbi Yehuda Bar Peteret, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Peteret has the most lenient opinion. So this is the sixth opinion. Omer Ein Divrei Torah Mekablin Tuma. Hey, you can't be Metamik Divrei Torah, which means essentially he's uprooting the Takana of Ezra. He's saying, listen, I know what Ezra said, and what Ezra, I guess what he thought Ezra did was like a Takana Pshah. But as far as he's concerned, I don't know, he uproots the whole thing. He says, listen, you can't be Matami Divrei Torah, which means you can do whatever you want if you're Tami Kerry. You don't have to be Tovel. Go and learn. I don't know about go and teach, but certainly go and learn. We'll see. So Maisa Batami Da Chad Shahaya Magam Game Mamala Mi Rebbe Yehuda Ben Tera. So there was a student who obviously saw Zav, and he was kind of spitting out words because he was embarrassed to say Torah while he had a seminal omission the previous night. did that while he had sex after he had sex with his wife. So Amulei, Bini, son. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Pterah says to him, Bini. Now, by the way, you have to differentiate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda ben Pterah. So he says, Bini, Ptach picha v'yairu dvarecha. Come on, open your mouth and let me hear what you're saying. She'ein divrei Torah mekavlin tumah. Stop the whole, what are you worried about? You can't be mitami Torah. Shnemar halo, ko dvari, ke'esh nu mashem. My words are like fire. My esh einu mekavlin tumah, af divrei einu mekavlin tumah. And therefore, there's no such thing as if you're a Tamei Zav, you don't have to do tefillah at all before you learn Torah. Amar Rav, this is in support of the previous statement, Matziah ta Mishnah ve'enu tziah ta Gemara. You're allowed to analyze Mishnah, but you're not allowed to analyze to the level of Gemara. What, I jumped the line after Ein on the Kabbal and Tumah? Did that ain't a common tumor? My sabatamid should not get
it. I
have to be Amar Mar Matsia.
Yeah.
Oh, did I not say that? I'm sorry. Amar Mar Matsia Tanishna Vena Matsia Ta Gemara. So Messiah lay the Rebbe El. Now, by the way, Rashi takes out Messiah lay the Rebbe El Iliya de Amar. He just says de Amar Rav Iliya. He just says this is the opinion of Rav Iliya. He does not say that this supports Rav Iliya. I don't know why he would change that. I don't see a logical reason. It could be Rashi just had a different manuscript than. Rashi probably had multiple manuscripts, and therefore he thought that. So Amar Rav Acha Berei Rav Yaakov Mishum Ravina Halacha Matziah Ta Mishnah Veinu Matziah Ta Gemara. You're allowed to do Matziah Ta Gemara, not Matziah Ta Mishnah, not Matziah Gemara. I don't know whether I guess this sort of goes against Rabbi Yehuda ben Pterah. It's Kitznai, and then he says that's like a machloket between Tznayim, which is Matziah Ta Mishnah Veinu Matziah Ta Gemara. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamliel Omer Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Zev Zeh Aser. Va'amilei, there are those who say zev zem mutter, which means like according to one opinion, you can't learn Mishnah, Matziah, either Mishnah. The first opinion is you can Matziah on Mishnah, you can analyze Mishnah, but not to the level of Gemara. Then Rabbi Gamliel either says both are usser, but some people said that Rabbi Gamliel said both are mutter. So mandamar zev zem usser, according to the opinion that says that Rabbi Chanina ben Rabbi Gamliel said they're both usser, that's because Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, who had the most strict opinion up above. Mandamar zev zem mutter zek Rabbi Yehuda ben Pterah, who says you can't be Matani Torah, period. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Am I going too fast or we're okay? Is this alright for you? It's okay? Okay. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachman Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Nahug, you okay by the way, Chaim? Is not going too fast for you? Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Nahug Alma Kehani Tlat Zabe. The whole world holds like these three great ones. One, Karebi Eliyahi Bereshit Hageiz. We always hold like Rabbi Eliyahu when it comes to the first shearings of the sheep. Rabbi Yoshia b'kilayim. We hold like Rabbi Yoshia what he said by Klein. Rabbi Yehuda ben Pterah b'divrei Torah. The assumption is b'divrei Torah when you had a seminal omission. So it says Rabbi Elai, what he says, Bereshit Hageiz, Detania Rabbi Elai, Omer Bereshit Hageiz, and only ba'aretz. So if you have sheep in Chutz Aretz, you don't have to give the first shearing to the Kohanim. Rabbi Yoshia b'kilayim d'chtiv lo tizra kamacha kilayim. Rabbi Yoshia Omer la'olam enu chayav ad shiyizrachito sor v'chartzan v'mapolet yad. So first of all, he's talking specifically about kilei kerem. And what happens is, according to him, you have to, at the same time, plant three things together. You have to have chita, seora, and chartzan. Chartzan are the seeds of grapes. And you have to plant them in one planting in order for it to really be kilei kerem. It's not just if you plant one field, I think, next to it, after a pre-planted field, I believe. At least you're right. I'm not sure about Rabbanan. Kirav Yehuda ben Pterah b'divrei Torah. D'tani Rabbi ben Pterah omer ein divrei Torah mekablin tumah. Kiata z'irei amar. When these young guys came, I think it's talking about from Israel, they said, batlua l'tviluta. You know what they did in Israel? The whole tovaling thing, I assume after Kerry, they got rid of the whole thing. After your Kerry, you don't have to be tovel at all. The Amrilei, there are those who said that these people from Israel, these youngsters from Israel, they came to Babylon, they said, Bitlua l'netiluta. You don't have to wash your hands before eating bread. How do you like that? Two possibilities. Mandamar batlua tviluta. Those who said that you don't have to do tvila after Balkari, kid Rabbi Yehuda ben Pterah. That's like Rabbi Yehuda ben Pterah. So essentially, Rabbi Yehuda ben Pterah had the ability to override. It's amazing. He overrides Ezra, because Ezra specifically said that if you're Tommy Carey, you have to go total. So he overrides, and we'll see why he overrides. We'll see under what grounds he manages to override. The Amar, and what about the people who said you don't have to do Netilat Yadayim, which is pretty wild, right? Which is pretty wild. It says, Kihad Rav Chista, Layat Amai, Demahadar Amai, Be'id, and Saluta. That's not talking about a person who goes wash their hands before they eat. That's talking about a person who washes before they daven. Remember, we had this whole story about how we actually did this 7 days ago. So I know this, because this was exactly 7 days old. So 7 days ago, we learned that if you're saying Shema, you're supposed to wash your hands. But if you can't find any water, you just rub them on dirt or on stuff. And not only that, if you slow everybody down to the point where they're going to miss Shema to go find water, they actually curse him if he does such a thing. So it's not talking about bread at all. It's talking simply about davening, and it's only talking about a case where you can't find water on hand. Tana Rabbanan. Baal keri shenatnu alav. Shenatnu alav tisha kavimayim. Chaim, can I ask a question, by the way? This is, of course, not classroom, so I would never chas from thinking of waking you up. The only reason I would do it is because I'm afraid that you'll be upset with yourself. But if you want me to leave you alone and not say a word, I wouldn't say chas v'shalom a word. No, but don't apologize, because I'm not upset, but chas v'shalom, because you're also my student, so you know, in class you did this, I'd give you a good yell, but here, I'm not upset at all, I just thought you might be upset with yourself you... Do you want me to leave you alone if I...
No, it's good.
Okay. So, you know, of course for an adult I never would, but you know, for a... Kids have more self-guilt, so I figure I'd give them a little bang, and also he's a student, so I feel more comfortable waking him up. If you two want to go to sleep, so I'm not going to, I wouldn't chas v'shalom say anything.
No.
But Chaim, I have a little power. Chaim, I have a little power over. I'll do the old, you know, oh, you know what he says.
What did you say?
So, but Rahman, I know you work so hard, Chaim, so if you tell me not to wake you up, so just let it go, and then there's osmosis. You'll dream about all this. Tana Rabbanan, Baal Keri Shnatu Alav Tisha Kavin Mayim Tahor. So now, this is interesting. By the way, I remember my Rebbe taught me this, and he quoted Rav Moshe Feinstein, who said that if you wake up with a seminal emission, so you get under the shower for 5 minutes, he says. 5 minutes is Tisha Lugin. Tisha Lugin, I think, comes out to about, I think it's 12 liters, which is like 5 gallons. The truth is, 5 minutes under the shower is really a long time, but I think that's what Rav Moshe said, if I remember correctly. Because that's what I remember as a kid. That's what my Rebbe taught me, and it's based on this. So Rabbanan said, Baal Keri Shnatu Alav Tisha Kavimayim Tahor. Now, we've introduced something new. Up to this point, it's all or nothing deal. Either you have to be Tovel, or you don't have to be Tovel. And if you're not Tovel, how much Torah could you learn, with the extreme being just a little bit of mission that you memorize? So Rabbi Yehuda just says, forget the whole thing. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tzir says, forget the whole thing. We're uprooting Ezra. But now we're introducing a new idea where you're not Tovel in a mikvah, but you drop yourself, you go to shower, you essentially drop yourself essentially about 4 or 5 gallons of water on your head. So Baal Keri Shnatu Alav Tisha Kavim Tahor. Nachum Ish Gamzu, I love that name, right? It's a great name. Nachum Ish Gamzu Lachsha L'Rebbe Akiva. So he told the Lord secret to Rebbe Akiva. This is one of those laws that you don't like everybody to know, you know what I'm saying? So Rebbe Akiva Lachsha L'Ben Azai. So he secret told Ben Azai that it's okay. Well, Ben Azai Yatzav Shano, Tommy Dav Shuk, and he told the whole world. All of a sudden, he thought everybody deserved to know. So once upon a time, it was a secret, and then the secret got out, and that was the end of that. So Pligi Ba Trei Amorai Bimarava, Rav Yossi Bar Avin, Rav Yossi Bar Zvedas. Actually, we have two guys living in the West, that is in Eretz Israel, who are arguing. Two Amarim, Chad Tani Shana, V'Chad Tani Lachsha. There are two opinions. Either Ben Azai told it out loud, or he told it in a secret. We don't know whether the secret was kept, i.e., you're allowed to do it, but don't tell everybody. Or some people said, no, the word's out, that's it, the secret's out, you're allowed to do the Jigama. So, Man Detani Shana Mishum Bittul Torah, or Mishum Bittul Pirovir Urivya. The reason why the person who says that Rav Azai learned it out loud is because I'm going to tell you why Tisha Kavim replaced the whole going to the mikvah. Because we're afraid of Bittul Torah. Why? Because the guy says, listen, I had a seminal missioner, I just had sex with my wife. I say, well, from that, I can't learn Torah now. I go all the way to the mikvah, forget it, I'll go watch the little TV or whatever it is. So now people won't learn so much Torah. I get back in Ezra's days, you wouldn't have such a problem. People would go to the mikvah and go learn Torah. But these days, it's a little difficult to find something like that. And the other one is Mishultan Bittul Bipiria, that Piria Rivia. Somebody would be so firm, they'll say, listen, I won't be Bittul Torah, but I know if I have sex with my wife, if I sleep with my wife, I won't be able to learn Torah, because I won't be able to go to mikvah, so I'll just forget about the whole, I just won't, we'll skip it tonight, honey, that kind of thing. Uman Ditana Lachsha, what about the guy who says keep it secret? Because now there's a good reason to let everybody know that Tisha Kavim are fine, and everybody can get their hands on Tisha Kavim. So Shalo Yehu Tami Dechacham, and Tumi Etzim Shadam, Kitani Golim. Because the truth is, that rabbi didn't want their husband, they didn't want Tana Chacham sleeping with their wives so often, like Tana Golem. They weren't supposed to be with them like Tana Golem. They were supposed to restrict themselves sexually and therefore the secret was in. Whether he's saying that that was the same reason of Ezra that he's maintaining, or whether it's a new reason, or whether it's a reason to maintain the law in the face of adversity, that I don't know. So Amar Rav Yanai, Shamati Shemekilim Ba, Vishamati Shemachmir Ba. So Rav Yanai says, you know what? I heard people go both ways. Some people do, some people don't. But it's best to be from. You get long live the person who is going to go to a mikvah rather than drop 9 boogie on his head. Oh, but no. I'm Rav Yeshua ben Levi. What's so good about these people who go in every morning, they go to the mikvah? The Gemara asks, Mativo? What do you mean, Mativan? Ha'ihud Amar Balkari, Asa B'Divrei Torah. He said himself that you're not, this Rav Yeshua ben Levi said himself that you're not allowed to learn Torah if you're a Baal Keri. So he said, Haki, come on. Mativan ba'arvim sa'a. What is with these guys that they go all the way to a mikvah to dip in 40 sa'a of water? Efshar b'tisha kabim. Mativo b'tvila asher b'netina. Once we've established that netina is good enough, just drop a few gallons of water on your head or take 5-minute shower. I do not like these people that go to a mikvah in order to purify themselves. They're being frummer than thou. That's essentially how I'm reading this Gemara. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, obviously there's some people who are pro, some people against. So Amar Rav Chanina bar, Amar Rav Chanina geder gadol gadruba. It's a big fence that they made around it. Titania masa bechad shetava isha v'davar avera. There was a guy who went for a woman to do an avera. He wanted to have relations with her and not an avera. By the way, all the Mefarshim say, the Rashi says, what kind of avera is this? It's not chas v'shalom, a woman who's married to somebody else or a woman who's in nida. This is talking about a pnuya, somebody who is not, she's single. So the question is, why can't I have sex with somebody single? So the assumption here in this Gemara is, this opinion is, that sex with a pnuya is an iser drabanan. You have to get married first. I can't tell you that. Not everybody holds like that. If I'm not mistaken, the Ramban says that marriage is not necessary. If you live with somebody with kedusha, and it's only that woman, it's okay. So I'm not sure if everybody paskins like this, but this Gemara paskins that it's usher to have premarital sex, even though a woman may not be neither. Let's say a woman went to swimming in the ocean, and she's single. She's not an ashadish, and you're not married, she's not married. It's no problem. She agrees, and you agree. You're not allowed to, there's an Ishtar Rabbanan to have sex. That's the Avera that they're talking about, I think, according to Rashi. Amarlo, Reka Yeshachar Ba'im Sa Shatan Tovu Bahem. Somebody goes home and says, you empty guy, you guy with no scruples. You have 40 Sa'a that you're going to go dip in? So Miyad Peirush, when he realized that he was going to be tummy with this woman, so he immediately separated from her before committing the act, which is weird, right? He wasn't worried about committing premarital sex. But he was worried about the fact that after he committed premarital sex, he wasn't going to be able to find the mikvah. But okay, you know, different people have different things. And again, if you say that the issue with this pnuya was not that she was chas v'shalom and eshdish or even in neither, but simply that she was a single woman, there's an iser rabbanan, so you can see where it's not, the iser of learning Torah may be just as big or even bigger for a talmid chacham. Amar lahu rav huna le rabbanan, rabotai mipnei matem zalmalim l'tvila zu, imshum tzina efshav r'mechatzot. So, you see, it's back and forth. So Rav Huna says, why not go to the 40 Shaim? Why not go and to a mikvah? If it's because it's cold, so go to a warm bath. Go take a bath. Amalei Rav Chisda, v'chi yesh tvila v'chamim? Since when can you be tovo in warm water? By the way, the assumption here is, not like today where we have heaters put into a mikvah. Here the assumption is it was heated up in a kli, in a pool, and then you drop the water that was in this big heated barrel into the mikvah. If you do that, that's called mayim she'uvim. You're not allowed to do such a thing. It has to be free-running water. So that you're not allowed to do. So back in the day, it used to be cold water they used to take, or unless you lived in the hot springs in Tveria. They're not talking about that. They're talking about heated water in a pot. So Amalei Rav Chisda, v'chiyesh tvila v'chamim, so Amalei Rav Ada Bar Ava, kai kavanatcha. Amalei Rav Ada Bar Ava Kai Kavana Kavatech. Oh, I know what that means. So it means, yeah, he paskins like you paskin, which is Mayim Sheuvim is okay for this case. Why? Because we're not talking about Nida here. We're not talking about Zav. We're not talking about a person who needs to go to 40 Saw because the Torah demands that he goes to a mikvah. We're talking about a person that needs to go 40 Saw because Ezra decided that he can't learn Torah. You wanted to back out of the whole thing and only do Tisha Kabim. And I'll tell you, go to the mikvah. You're saying too much trouble. I'm saying make hot water. You're saying hot water is not good for a mikvah. And I'm saying, listen, hot water is good for this type of mikvah because we're only talking about a Rabbanan mikvah in the first place. We're not talking about a full mikvah for Nida. We're talking about a mikvah for seminal emission, for Keri. So does that make sense? So I obviously get these opinions back and forth. Should you go to the mikvah? Should you go? It's not going to stop. We're going to continue on. Rav Zeira Hayati Ba'agana Demaya Bar Mesuta. Rav Zeira was sitting in like these, like a river of water that was, it was disgusting. Bay Mesuta. Let me look at Rashi for Bay Mesuta. Bay Mesuta, Bay Mesuta. There's some kind of smelly water. Oh, and Gigit. I'm sorry. Agana de Mayim is he was in a barrel of water that was in the. Oh, Bay Mesuta is a bathhouse. Oh, thank you very much. Is that how it translates in English? Okay. Amalei Rishame. So he told his servant, Gio Vaiti Li Tishakabim Mishadi Alui. So he says, listen, he's literally in a bath. He's in a big bathhouse. He says, go, and I just had a seminal mission, or I had previously a seminal mission. You got to go get me tishakam and pour them over my head. Amalei Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Rabbi Chiya Abba, I was taking a bath next to him. He said, Amalei Lemarkle, what are you doing? Hayati Begavai, you're sitting in it. You're sitting in nine carbons, so what are you talking about? So Amalei Ke'arbarim Sa'ah. So now, here's a weird situation. When it comes to the Tisha Kabim, you have to take it seriously, just like Arba'im Sa'ah, i.e. a full mikvah. Ma Arba'im Sa'ah, just when you need a full mikvah, betvila velo benetina. Then you have to go to a full mikvah and you can't have somebody pour it over your head. Af Tisha Kabim, but now that we've established that Tisha Kabim is the right way to go when you're Tamei Keri, you do a benetina velo betvila. You have to do it the right way, which means it's not just a, according to him, he holds by tvila so much.